chapter 21. And Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers and was buried with his father in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his place. Now, here we have in verses 1 through 7 the character of Jehoram, his son. And as we look at Jehoshaphat, he was a good king, but he experienced not only the power of God in his life, but at the same time, he had a fascination for evil people. He was fascinated by it. And it brought him down. Now, here is his son. He said he had brothers and sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azariah, Michael, Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. I mean, he was blessed by the Lord with all these sons. God blessed him. And yet, Jehoram was the eldest. He was coming into the kingdom. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and gold and precious things with fortified cities in Judah. But he gave the kingdom to Jehoram because he was his firstborn. And I think this was something that we really need to be careful with, because even though he was his firstborn, he should have seen that he was not a righteous person. I think we have to be careful even when we give our inheritance to our own children. Not just because they're our children. But what are they going to do with it? You could destroy them by giving them so much. And as he looked at all his sons, the eldest one, because he was the firstborn, he gave him the kingdom, even though he gave silver and gold to the rest of them in his inheritance. But watch this. Verse 4. And now when Jehoram was established over the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and he killed all his brothers with the sword and also other leaders of Israel. Notice what he did. The southern kingdom of Israel becoming polluted once again. By who? By the north. The north is polluting the southern kingdom. He was exposed to all kinds of evil. Now, this is the reason he killed his brothers is because when he was a little kid, his father exposed him to all kinds of evil. Now, listen, get the message tonight. That when you have your children in your home and they're little, this is the most important time when you're building their character. And whatever they see, whatever they hear, whatever they taught, they're going to grow up with that. Here it is. He was exposed to all kinds of evil when he was little. I can remember when I was a kid, I was 5 years old. And I can remember, when I look back at my life now, and the evilness in my life and in my heart as I got older, is because of the things that I was exposed to when I was a little kid by my father. I grew up in nightclubs and bars, 5 years old. I heard cussing. I saw pornography. I saw all kinds of evil. I saw drunkenness, man. I saw drugs. I saw everything. And when you grew up in an atmosphere like that, when you grew up in a home like that, and then violence in the home, and abuse in the home, physical abuse and verbal abuse, listen, it's going to affect you. And it's going to carry you on until Jesus touches your life. That's why there's so many people that are messed up. When you look at the background, you know, psychologists go nuts when they get to go back into their past. We don't do that in Christ. But if you go to a psychologist, they will evaluate, you know, your life, and they'll evaluate who you are and what you are because of your past. Where in Christ, our past is passed away. Behold, all things become brand new. And that's why it's a miracle of God. Because there's no possible way that I should be who I am today, it's only because of the Lord. Because otherwise, I would be already dead or in a nut house because of what happened in my life. And so with you. The miracle of God. God is the only one that can do the work in our lives. And He can take the evil out of our hearts and put good in our hearts by His righteousness. And here we see that He went ahead and being affected as a child, He killed all of His brothers and all of the leaders. Verse 5. And Jeroboam was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Underline that. He didn't walk into the king of Judah. He copied the northern kingdom of Israel. And there was no good king in Israel. They were all evil kings. Evil kings. They worshiped the golden calves. They worshiped Baal. They worshiped Molech. They burned their children in the fires. Just as the house of Ahab had done. For he had a daughter of Ahab as wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, I'm so happy that the Holy Spirit tells us why he became even more evil and followed the northern kingdom of Israel. Why? Because he married Ahab's daughter. You see? There's the problem. He married into an evil home. That's why be you not unequally yoked together. Think of your son or your daughter marrying someone, someone that is, let's say, Muslim or Buddhist or Jehovah Witness or Mormon. Think of the division in your home as a Christian. Think of losing your children. Because when they get married, either the husband or the wife can influence the other partner. Think of how many parents have been cast to the side because of a wife and they've lost their son or a daughter because of the son-in-law. As they begin to poison that person concerning their parents or their grandparents. That's a problem today. With a lot of parents, a lot of sons and daughters. That's why it's really important that you parents not only teach your children what's right, but lead them in the way in teaching them about evil and what's right and what's wrong. Because they're going to grow up and they're going to make choices when they leave your home. But if they grow up in the Word of God, they're going to be convicted. They're going to have a mind that brings conviction. Why? From all the times and everything you gave to them from the Word of God. And you continue to pray for them. You don't want to lose them eternally. And yet people are lost eternally. Here he tells us that the reason he became so evil is because he married Ahab's daughter. Should have never done that. But he did. Verse 7, and yet the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David, since he had promised to give a lamp to him and to his sons forever. Notice the faithfulness of God here to his covenant that he made with David. God keeps his word. God keeps his covenants. Then it says this, and in his days, the Edomites revolted against Judah's authority and made a king over themselves. Now, when people outside of the church begin to see the compromising and the, how can I say this, the compromising and the carnality within the church and within people that know you, what's going to happen? They're not going to respect you. They're going to come against you. When they saw the weakness in Judah, the Edomites on the other side said, hey, you know what? It's over, man. Let's go get them. They had no respect. They saw the weakness already. Watch what it says. Verse 9. And so Jehoram went out with his officers and all his chariots with him. And he rose up by night and attacked the Edomites who had surrounded him and the captains of the chariots. And thus Edom had been in revolt against Judah's authority to this day, and at that time Libnah revolted against his rule because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Notice that. He had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. How sad. We notice that he moved himself out of the place of blessing through his rebellion against God. How many times can we move ourselves out of the place of blessing when we rebel against God? You can be blessed and also be cursed the moment you move yourself out of the blessings of God. That's why it's really important to be righteous and to obey and to be holy and to do what's right. If you have a problem with lying and you lie to somebody, it's very good to go back and say, you know what? I'm sorry, but I've lied. I've added to the story or this or that, whatever. Make it right with men and God, because you know what? Every time you catch yourself and you correct yourself, pretty soon you're going to be speaking truth. You're going to get rid of the problem and the habit you have. Very important. Because here we see that the reason that he not only, you know, shows here that he did not walk with God, but he forsook the Lord of the fathers. Verse 11, moreover, he made a high place in the mountains of Judah, and he caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit harlotry and led Judah astray. Notice that the places of idolatry, which God says, don't do it, he went ahead and did it. No respect for God. No respect for God. He rebelled against God. Verse 12. And a letter came from Elijah, the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord God of your father David, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, your father, or in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but you have walked in the way of the kings of Israel and have made Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to play the whore like the harlot in the house of Ahab. Also have killed your brothers, those of your father's household who were better than yourself. Behold, the Lord will strike your people with a serious affliction, your children, your wives, and all of your possessions. God will not stand for evil. You see? Now, here Elijah is already dead. So how does he write a letter from the dead? He doesn't. Some proclaim that this could be a letter from Elijah, not Elijah. It's a copy's error. They don't know that. Or Elisha, because he was a prophet, already foresaw what would happen. So he wrote the letter before he died. And now at the proper time, they read the letter of Elijah, what he says. And here it is. You see? Watch this, verse 14. Behold, the Lord will strike your people with a serious affliction, your children, your wives, and all your possessions. And you will become very sick with a disease of your intestines. And notice, until your intestines come out by reason of the sickness day by day. Does God judge? You bet he judges. You bet. God doesn't put up with evil. I mean, when God speaks, God warns, and God gives a period of time of grace and mercy through his love, the judgment of God will come, and when it comes, it will come hard. I believe that's exactly what's happened to the United States of America right now. The judgment of God is on its way if we don't make the right decisions. We're going to see it big time. That's why the church has to intercede. We got to pray. We got to read. We got to grow. We got to stand for what's right in the presence of God, in the presence of people. And we need to let our light shine. We need to be the salt of the earth. We need to be a light on a hill that cannot be covered. Because the world is becoming smaller and the world's becoming greater with evil. I am amazed when you fly through the channels on television, you know, And they have these poker parties, you know, for big bucks. They're teaching kids how to gamble, how to go to Vegas and spend their money. I mean, they're smart in Vegas. What do? They build casinos and they build these theme parks so you can bring families in. And yet, you don't hear of the sad stories of all the people that lose millions and millions of dollars and their houses and wives and children and everything in one weekend. Same thing with cigarettes and drugs and alcohol and all these things. They don't tell you the effects. It's all the mighty dollar, my friends. The mighty dollar. It's really sad, but this is the truth, God says. This is what's happening. They make us covet. They make us covet in the commercials. I want it. I need it. I deserve it. I was listening to the news yesterday, and you know, the rates are going up in realty right now, and some people are actually getting loans, you know, where with a 0.5%, whatever, you know, where you, it's low interest right now, but as soon as it raises up, you're going to have to pay that interest. And what's going to happen? You're losing your home. Because you're not locked into 30 or 15 years. You're locked into 5 years, and then the rate goes up. Be careful of the deceit. The mighty dollar. That's what they want. They don't care about you. They care about their pocket. Whenever there's a person that is greedy, or they don't, you know, it's like when you're going to go pay, they don't pay. We call them the porcupine hen. You know, that's what I call them, porcupine hen. You know, you can't stick your hand in a porcupine because they don't even reach for their pocket. But it's true. This is what's happening to America, and America is falling for the lie. People want to be like the commercials. It's amazing. Amazing how they know how to feed you and how to get you to buy the product. I mean, there's hundreds of channels now, jewelry channels. I mean, whatever you want, it's there for you. And yet, look what he says. Verse 9. And I messed up, I think I'm over here. Oh, excuse me, verse 15. I'm on the other side. Verse 15. He says that you will become very sick with a disease of your intestines until your intestines come out, notice, by reason of the sickness day by day. And moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jeroboam the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabians who were near the Ethiopians. What did God do? God rose up and baited him. So what? So that he could fall under God's trap. God used evil for good. God will use evil people to destroy you if you don't listen. You'll fall under your own trap. You see? What did God do with Judah? He brought the Babylonians. What did he do with Israel? He brought the Assyrians. Evil people. God used them as instruments of judgment. And God will do that today. He'll judge you with an evil person. They'll use them to bring judgment on you if you don't listen. Verse 17. And they came up into Judah and invaded it, and carried away all the possessions that were found in the king's house, and also his sons and his wives, so that there was not a son left to him except Jehoshaphat, the youngest of his son. Notice, the prophecy of Elisha came to pass, just like he said. And after this, the Lord struck him and his intestines with all incurable disease. And then it happened, in the course of time, after the end of 2 years, that his intestines came out because of his sickness. Can you believe that? He just rotted. And he died in a severe pain. And his people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers. He was so evil, they didn't respect him. He was only 32 years of age when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem for 8 years only, and to no one's sorrow departed. However, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tomb of the kings. Interesting. No respect for him. They didn't even give him a proper funeral. chapter 22, verse 1. And then the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his place. For the raiders who came with the Arabians into the camp had killed all the older sons. And so Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. And Ahaziah was 42 years old. And when he became king and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem, his mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. So here it says 42 years old, but there's actually here a copyist error. It should be 22 years. See, so here's another copy error. And when I say copy error, it's when they were copying the Bible, they made the mistake. There's no error with the Bible. The copyist made the error. Verse 3. And he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. Notice that. An ungodly mother influenced, notice, her own son to become evil. Interesting. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, his mother, advised him to do wickedly. Can you imagine a mother saying, son, go out and sin like hell. Do whatever you want. That's what she did. And there are mothers like that. There are women like that in the world that are evil, just like men. Look what he says, verse 4. And therefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. Notice what it says. The Lord saw it, and the counselors that he had were counselors to his own destruction. You have to be careful who counsels you. You have to be careful what kind of advice you're getting. It can be evil or it can be righteous. He also followed their advice and went to Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, the king of Syria, at Ramoth Gilead. And the Syrians wounded Joram. And he returned, notice, to Jezreel to recover from his wounds, which he had received at Ramah. And when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria, and Azariah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, son of Ahab, in Jezreel, because he was sick. So notice the evil here. And his going to Jehoram was God's occasion for Ahaziah's downfall. Notice how God is fully in control. He's doing the whole thing. He's leading the whole story. Everything that happens is not by coincidence. God is directing the whole play. He's in charge. His going to Jerusalem was God's occasion for Azariah's downfall. For when he arrived, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, son of Nishi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. Notice that. God already had planned this event. And it happened. It came to pass, when Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab, that he found the leaders of Judah, the sons of Ahaziah's brothers, who served Ahaziah, and noticed that he killed them. And then he searched for Ahaziah, and they caught him. He was hiding in Samaria. And they brought him to Jehu. And when they had killed him, they buried him because they said, he is the son of Jehoshaphat who sought the Lord with all his heart, so the house of Ahaziah and no one to assume power over the kingdom. Notice that. Here they respected him because of his father, because he walked with God. And then verse 10, and now when Athaliah, she was wicked, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she got up and she destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. Notice this. She started killing all the heirs. But Jehoshaphat, the daughter of the king, took Joash as a baby, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and put him in his nursery in a bedroom, so that Jehoshaphat, the daughter of the king of Jehoram, the wife of Jehadiah the priest, for she was a sister of Ahaziah, and hid him from Athaliah so that she would not kill him. So here the hand of God is upon this little baby, because he's going to be the next king. You see? And God protects him, and all his brothers are wiped out. Verse 12. And he was hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. Never saw him for 6 years. He was in hiding. Verse 1 of chapter 23. And then the seventh year of Jehoshaphat strengthened himself and made a covenant with the captains of hundreds. Notice that. And Azariah the son of Jehoram, Ishmael son of Jehohanan, Azariah the son of Obadiah, Messiah the son of Adonaiah, and Elishaphat the son of Sikri, all these names, man. And they went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites from all the cities of Judah and the chief fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. And then all the assembly made a covenant with the king of the house of God. And he said to them, behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord had said to the sons of David. This is what you shall do. 1/3 of your entering on the Sabbath, and the priests of the Levites shall be keeping watch over the doors. 1/3 shall be the king's house, and 1/3 at the gate of the foundation, and all the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. Notice that. These are the keepers of Jehovah. Let no one come into the house of the Lord except the priests and those of the Levites who serve. They may go in, for they are holy, but all the people shall keep watch of the Lord. And the Levites shall surround the king on all sides, every man with his weapon in his hand, you know, protecting him. And whoever comes into the house, let him be put to death. You are to be with the king when he comes in and when he goes out. They were like bodyguards. And so the Levites and all of Judah did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And each man took his men who were to be on duty on the Sabbath, and with those who were going off duty on the Sabbath, for Jehoiada the priest had not dismissed the divisions. And then Jehoiada the priest gave to the captains of hundreds his spears and the large and small shields which belonged to King David, that they were in the temple of God. And then he set all the people, every man with his weapon on his hand, for the right side of the temple and the left side of the temple, along by the altar, by the temple, and all around the king. So they had him pretty secured. And now when Athaliah, the wicked woman, heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people in the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, there was the king standing in his pillar at the entrance, and the leaders and the trumpeters were with the king. And all the people of the land rejoiced, blowing the trumpet also, the singers with musical instruments, and those who led in praise. And so Athaliah tore her clothes, and she said, treason, treason. So for the first time, she realizes that there is an heir to the throne after being hiding. And she goes crazy. She can't believe it. Verse 14. And Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of hundreds who were set over the army and said unto them, take her outside under guard and kill her with a sword, whoever follows her. For the priest said, do not kill her in the house of the Lord. God used that to draw her out and to have her slain. Notice that. She was a wicked woman, and not the judgment of God on her. Verse 16. And then Jehoiada made a covenant, notice, between himself and the people and the king, that they should be the Lord's people. So when they got rid of evil, what do? They renew their covenant with God again. You see, they're like up and down. Now they're back with the Lord again. They want to follow God. And then all the people went to the temple of Baal and they tore it down. Notice what they do. They have a spiritual reformation. They start ripping down all the gods, all the altars, the god of Baal, Ashtaroth, all these gods. And all the people went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They broke in pieces its altars, its images, and killed Madden, the priest of Baal, before the altars. All the pagan religious people were getting wiped out. And also Jehoiada appointed the oversight of the house of the Lord to the hand of the priests and the Levites whom David had assigned in the house of the Lord to offer the sacrifices of consecration, burnt offerings of the Lord. as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was established by David. So what are they doing? They're restoring worship, they're restoring the word of God, and they're coming back to their first love. Verse 19, and then he set the gatekeepers at the gates of the house of the Lord, so that no one who was in any way unclean should come in. Look at that. Pretty heavy. Nobody could come to church if they were in sin, unclean. Only those that truly wanted to seek God could come into the house of the Lord. And then he took the captains of the hundreds and the nobles and the governors of the people and all the people of the land, and brought the king down from the house of the Lord. And they went through the upper gate of the king's house and set the king on the throne of the kingdom. Now, I hate to say this, but this king becomes like a puppet king. He never really ruled. He was like a puppet king. And so all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had killed Athaliah with a sword. Listen, whenever you get rid of evil, what do you have? Peace of mind. You have peace. But you put somebody in office that's evil, and let me tell you something, it's over for the nation. It's over. God said it. I didn't say it. God said it. Verse 1 of chapter 24. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 42 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Sabea of Beersheba. And Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now, here's another point. This child, 7 years old, becomes king as a puppet king. And what does he do? As long as the priest that is righteous lives, but the moment he dies, guess what he does? He does evil. There are people like that today. You know, they do it for a while, and then those that are around them that are righteous people, when they're gone, they go right back into seeking evil and hang out with evil people. You'll see that. Notice this. He says, so Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. You know how long Jehoiada lived? 132 years. He was an old man. And Jehoiada took 2 wives for him, and he had sons and daughters. Notice that. And now it came to pass after this that Jehoash set his heart on repairing the house of the Lord. And then he gathered the priests and the Levites and said unto them, go out to the cities of Judah and gather from all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you do it quickly. However, the Levites did not do it quickly. Now, here we begin to see a part revival that is happening. And what's really cool about it here is that he wants to rebuild the house of the Lord. He's demonstrating the spiritual condition of the nation, that as he commands the priests, which are the pastors in that time, to rebuild the house of the Lord, they were not spiritual men. They did not listen. They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to rebuild the house of the Lord. Look, verse 6. And so the king called Jehoiada, the chief priest, and said to him, hey, why have you not required the Levites to bring in from Judah and from Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses to the servant of the Lord and to the assembly of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? Why didn't they do it? Now, under the law of Moses, every male was to pay a half a shekel a year. A half a shekel a year. You notice that here, in building any kind of a house, they're following the law of Moses. What do you mean? Well, if you go back into the book of Exodus chapter 36, you will see that when they were building the tabernacle, Moses went out to the people and said, look, God wants us to build a house. We're not going to have any people come in and pump up people for money. We're not going to have cookie sales, car washes. You know, and we're not going to put the pressure on the people. But the Lord said, hey, whoever wants to give and contribute to the house of the Lord, this is what you are to do. And what do? The people brought to the house of the Lord so much that Moses had to tell the people, God said to him, hey, it's too much. Stop giving because we got too much. When do you hear that on television or radio today? Sad. But it's true. Look again, verse 7. And for the sons of Ahadiah, that wicked woman had broken into the house of God, also presented all the dedicated things to the house of the Lord to Baal. So they had polluted all of the things of God, and now he's trying to clean it up. And then the king's command, they made a chest and set outside all the gates of the house of the Lord. What did they made an agape box. You know what the people did? They went in and they just dropped in the money in the agape box. You see? They weren't asking for money. It's more blessed to receive than notice. And notice, and this is so cool. Because so many times when you hear television, preachers and all that stuff, they make you feel bad and they even make you emotionally cry and weep so you can give out of emotions. Don't do that. Make sure you're sound of mind before you give. Don't let people move you by emotions and all kinds of gimmicks. Make sure the Lord said to give. Because you might be given to the wrong place. And they might be being abused. Be careful how you use God's money. Look what he says. And then at the king's command, they made a chest and set it outside of the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation throughout all of Judah and Jerusalem to bring to the Lord a collection that Moses, a servant of God, had imposed on Israel in the wilderness. Look how beautiful that is. Listen, this is what we're going to do. The agape box is outside. You go ahead and put for the building. And then all the leaders and all the people rejoice. And they brought their contributions and put them in the chest until all had been given. What happened? They said, okay, no more. We got enough. You see? When people have a willing heart to give to God, you don't have to beg. Where God leads, God provides. They gave him an opportunity to the people to give, and the people responded, and the priest said, it's too much. Thank you very much, but you've given enough. Keep the rest. Imagine if every church would do that. Verse 11. And so it was at that time when the chest was brought to the king's officials by the hand of the Levites. And when they saw that there was much money, that the king and scribe and the high priest officer came and emptied the chest and took it and returned to his place. And they did that day by day and gathered the money in abundance. Notice that. Then they had to repeat it. Every day they emptied the agape box. Every day God supplied their needs. And the king of Jehoiada gave it to those who did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and they hired masons and carpenters and repair the house of the Lord, and also those who worked in iron and bronze to restore the house of the Lord. And so the workmen labored, and the work was completed by them, and they restored the house of God to its original condition and reinforced it. You see? Brand new. And when they all had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king, Jehoiada, and they made from it articles for the house of the Lord, articles for serving, the offering spoons, the vessels of gold and silver, and they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. But Jehoiada grew old and was full of days, and he died, and he was 130 years old when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and his house. And now after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. And therefore they left the house of the Lord God to their fathers. And served the wooden images and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. So as soon as the good priest dies, what happens? They go into idolatry again. How sad. Notice that. It happened as soon as people, see that there's no more righteousness. And therefore they left the house of God, and their fathers served wooden images and idols, and the wrath upon Judah came in Jerusalem because of their trespass. And yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not listen. Isn't that sad? They would not listen. They fell away after God moved. Notice they're still trying to get the people back to himself, God. And then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah the prophet, the son of Jehoiada, the priest who stood above the people and said to them, "Thus saith the Lord, why do you transgress the commandment of the Lord so that you cannot prosper because you have forsaken the Lord who also has forsaken you?" This is what happened today. When they walked away from God, God stopped the blessings. They couldn't do it anymore. And so they conspired against him. Notice that, against the prophet of God. At the commandment of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. Listen, this is what's happening today. If you speak up for what's right, they're going to eventually, sooner or later, they're going to start killing people. They speak out against homosexuals. They speak out against evil. Believe me, just like the times of the prophet, is going to happen again before the Lord comes again, because we stand for what's right. People love evil rather than righteousness. And thus Joash, the king, did not remember the kindness of Jehoiada, his father. Notice that. He forgot and had done to him, but killed his son. And as he died, he said, "The Lord look on it and to repay it." And so it happened on the spring of the year of the army of Syria came up against him. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the leaders and the people from among the people and sent all their spoils to the king of Damascus. Notice what he's saying here. Like the book of Habakkuk. Read it. What does it say? Habakkuk was standing on his tower. He's looking out of his tower and he says, "Lord, what's going on here?" And God says, "Listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take Babylon, that evil nation, and I'm going to bring them down and I'm going to use them as my instrument of judgment against my people." That's what I'm doing, Habakkuk. That's what God will do with America. It's not over yet. If we don't turn to him, if we don't repent, if we don't stand for righteousness, God will send his judgment upon America. And it could be very possible this whole movement of Al-Qaeda could be the hand of God. Why? Because Al-Qaeda hates not Americans, they hate Christians and Jews. They hate Christians and Jews. Pretty interesting. You're going to see a lot. In our generation, you will see a lot. Look what else he says. Verse 24. "For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, but the Lord delivered a very great army into their hands because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash." Notice what it says. God used them to destroy his own people because they forsook the Lord. "And when they had withdrawn from him, for they left him severely wounded, his own servants conspired against him because of the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest and killed him in his own bed. And he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they did not bury him in the tomb of the kings." Again, notice that. "And these are the ones who conspired against him: Sedad, the son of Shimeath, and the Ammonitess, and Jehozadad, the son of Shimrith, and the Moabitess. And not concerning his sons and the many oracles about him in the repairing of the house of God. Indeed, they are written in the annals of the book of the kings." And then Amaziah, his son, reigned in his place. Father, we come before you this evening. So much we have shared tonight, Lord. Father, we pray for your people, those watching through the internet, God. And Lord, we ask you that you continue to bless the book of Chronicles as we continue in the following weeks, Father. And Lord, as we enter into the book of Colossians, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would be with thy people. Bless them, anoint them, and use them. And Lord, help us to be a righteous people, a holy people, a loving people, God. A people who doesn't forsake the Lord, but seeks the Lord. And I wonder if there's anybody in our audience tonight that is visiting for the first time. You've been here before. Somebody brought you here. We want to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, because it doesn't matter what religion you belong to. There's only one, and that is through Jesus Christ to become a Christian. No other way to get to heaven but to be a Christian. To receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by repenting of your sins, confessing your sins, and then receiving Him by faith and praying a simple prayer of faith, and then getting your name in the book of life, and God will give you eternal life tonight. If there's anybody here, we're going to worship. Whether you're male, female, young, or old, I don't care who you are. If you want to receive Jesus Christ tonight, I want you to get up and come up here to the front and stand here, and I want to pray with you. Come now as we worship. We pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would be with us, that you would touch these people now eternally, Father. And those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer and repeat after me and receive Jesus Christ tonight, okay? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.